From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Ksenia Kalar, guest hosting for Evan Dawson. I graduated from the University of Rochester in 2023. And as all my friends moved to different places around the world, I started a tedious process of trying to find new friends. I never thought that would be a problem. I lived in 4 different countries so far and traveled to 30 plus, and I've made friends in all of them. Anywhere I go, I naturally connect with people and stay in touch for years. And while my house is always open to my friends from all over the place, and they use this opportunity quite often, finding local friends has been a pain. I didn't worry about making friends as I was approaching graduation. I knew I'd meet some when I started a full-time job. Little did I know that I'd be much younger than my colleagues, most of whom already have families. So that didn't work out. I am a Gen Z. Is there something off with young people? That's the question I ask myself because most of the acquaintances of my age prefer to play video games or sleep rather than talking to people in real life. But maybe it just seems that way to me. Turns out it doesn't. According to The Hill, teens are spending less time with friends. A recent article cites a Monitoring the Future study that claims the percentage of high school seniors who hang out with their friends in person almost every day dropped from 44% in 2010 to 32% in 2022. While preparing for this program, I checked with the American Institute for Boys and Men and learned that nearly half of young men aren't dating. And while the topic of why men are terrified of dating is a whole different topic, today I want to talk about in-person interactions, why people prefer to be at home alone, and where, at the end of the day, can young adults who aren't in college meet people in Rochester. Today in the studio, I have Allura Simmons, a party promoter, hostess, and a model. Allura, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I also have Sunny Sweeney, bar manager at the Playhouse Wilburger, and singer-guitarist in Kind of Kind. Sunny, thanks for joining.
Thanks for having.
With us is Anna Eggleton, a local producer and performer. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, thank you.
Okay, question number one. So where do young adults hang out in Rochester?
I kind of heard you say Swilburger. Swilburger is one of my top places to go. One, because they have the, you know, the arcade games, but they also have, like, you can sit at the bar, drink, eat. Swilburger, I love Swilburger. That is my spot. In the summertime, that's where I was at.
We got the AC.
Yes, and they have central air. And I love the upstairs, the basketball court.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
fine. Okay, Swilburger is the place to go, 100%. Yes, 100%. Anywhere else you go with your friends or to meet new people?
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Nerdvana. Mm-hmm. It's a new, like, arcade, like, restaurant style. I've only been there, like, one time, but when I did go, it was pretty cool to, like, sit there, play video games, play card games with your friends, Connect Four, you know. So definitely go to Nirvana, guys. That's one of the newest spots out here.
Sunny, how about you? Where do you go?
I like going to shows. I feel like, you know, Anna and I were just talking earlier about Bug Jar. There's a couple other places like Photo City. There's also like DIY venues that people put on shows for younger people. And also being in the bar scene, Rochester just has such a beautiful, like, scene for hospitality and drinks. We do like Rochester Cocktail Revival every year. Yeah.
Anna, what about you?
Well, I am a bit of a nerd, so I love doing like theater stuff. I spend a lot of my time at the Focus Theater downtown. I think that's where I built most of my community. It's a little harder there because it is more skewed old. You know, it isn't specifically for people my age. But I've also found a lot of community through volunteering. I did a lot of work for Girls Rock Rochester, which is a fantastic organization and a great way to meet people who, you know, feel like a part of my community, you know, queer folks, lots of cool people.
So going out to drink is a natural thing to do for young adults on the weekends, I feel like. I remember the time when I took a year and a half off drinking. Many of my friends kind of fell off. I do consider drinking one of the main bonding activities for young adults. And Sunny, you work in the bar, so I assume you have a lot to say about it.
Yeah, actually, the first thing I did when I became bar manager was make sure to implement a non-alcoholic menu on our drink menu, because I feel like because we have the arcade, we're going to have a lot of kids coming in, a lot of families, and, you know, people who are pregnant, people who are not allowed to drink because of religious, or, like, choose not to drink because of religious purposes. You know, I just wanted to, like, make it feel so everyone is welcome. And, I don't know, I think not drinking is so important. Like, coffee shops are great to meet new people.
Yeah, this is great, actually, because sometimes even still I go out with friends and I just do not want to drink, and I have to drink, like, soda.
Yes.
Because there are, like, no nice, cool cocktails. Yeah. And I'm like, always, why? You can literally charge the same amount of money for a non-alcoholic drink.
I don't know why you'd want to, though. You're just making juice for people, essentially.
Or, like, have a coffee machine in the bar, right?
Yeah,
like,
something different.
There is this new bar called Alt Bar, mm-hmm, that is all non-alcoholic, mm-hmm, cocktails.
Oh, that's good to know. I'm definitely going to, yeah, note it down. So, Anna, how about you? I'm not sure if you drink. Do you have in mind places where people who do not drink can go?
Yeah, I think that was a big thing when I was doing theater. I stopped drinking, and so we would go out to bars, and I would feel, like, very excluded. But, you know, Swillburger is a great example of a place where people of all ages can go and have fun. And then, you know, I would always say, let's hang out at the theater. We can still socialize within these same spaces. We don't have to go somewhere else. And then I am also I love pitching, like, walk dates, just going to the beach.
I love walks.
Yeah.
Especially on the pier.
Like, oh, yeah.
But it's crazy how, like, you can do stuff like that, and then somehow alcohol has to be a part of that picture.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what you're doing, you, true, can literally be sitting there in your room talking with your friends, and then, boom, a bottle appears. It's just like, why can't we just have a normal conversation, guys?
What, we got a pregame for,
yes,
nature?
Yes, like, literally, we literally have to pregame for nature.
Do you find it hard to talk to some people when you're not drunk? Because I sometimes do, not gonna lie.
I don't think I have that issue. I'm a very, like, open person. Like, I can talk to anybody, to be honest, especially with my friends if it's, like, something very vulnerable for me. But, you know, what they say, liquor brings out, you know, that other side and what you really want to say. So I think it just helps, to be honest.
Allura, you're also a party promoter, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So I assume alcohol is, like, present in your life.
Every weekend I'm around liquor. I'm tired of smelling liquor, looking at liquor, tasting it. Like, I need a break from it.
So where do you go with your friends if you don't want to drink?
If I don't want to drink, we stay in the house. To be honest, we have to stay in the house because, no, we can literally go to a restaurant, Longhorn or whatever, and then somehow end up drinking, you know, a margarita or something, and then there's two margaritas, three margaritas, four margaritas, and then we're in Longhorn all day. But honestly, like, I enjoy spending time with my friends in the house, watching movies, playing games, and just really, like, connecting with them and seeing, like, what's really going on with your mental, because we don't have that talks a lot with our friends. I definitely noticed that a lot. Like, we kind of shy away and we drink because we don't want to talk about those things. So I like when we don't have liquor around and we can actually have a normal conversation and see what's going on in people's lives.
Yeah, being vulnerable,
yes,
with each other is so,
yes,
important.
Very, very. Because especially in these times, like, it's crazy out here. You know, one day you might be talking to your friend and then the next day you know, you might not have the opportunity to. So
yeah.
I think it's really important to really just sit and chill and actually get to know your friends and talk to your friends.
Yeah, it's a very healthy relationship,
yes.
100%. Can we, since we're already talking about the drinking, can we talk about meeting new people when you're not drinking? Because, like, with friends, yeah, I love to have those sober conversations, mm-hmm, with my friends too, and sometimes I insist that we have them, mm-hmm, rather than just going out and, you know,
yeah,
you know. So how about meeting new people when you're not drinking? How is that going for you? Sunny, would you like to jump in?
Sure. I think trying to meet new people is a hard thing to do, you know, no matter what age you're at. But I feel like if you are doing the things that you enjoy to do and you're being your most authentic self, the people that you attract will be genuine friends to you. So it's not a matter of where, it's a matter of when.
Oh, that's a good point. Anna, what do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. Like once you find your path, I feel like the right people will find you. I know I struggle getting just like to that spot though. Instead of drinking, for me, it is definitely weed. I have to smoke before I'm in a new situation. I get so anxious, and so I use this kind of as a crutch, to the point where I feel like it's kind of become a part of my first level personality almost, of like, oh yeah, Anna's this stoner hippie person. And then that becomes something to relate on. So I think it is kind of difficult to do that, go in sober with that anxiety of, okay, I have to meet new people. I'm not sure how this is going to go.
Allura, how about you? How do you connect with new people?
It's honestly easy for me to connect with new people. I don't know why. It's just my aura. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm just a friendly, outgoing person. So if I see one of you guys on the street, I'm like, hey. Like, you know, because you just never know who people are, what they're going through. Like, a high could have really just made somebody's day. So I definitely am very easygoing with talking to people. And I love with this promoting, like, meeting new people, networking. It's crazy. Like, you just never know what type of people you're actually talking to and what type of businesses they're a part of. It's really cool to actually meet new people. I love it. Start talking to people, guys.
So we kind of touched on the topic of how hard it is to like actually move from this path of like not having many people to hang out right now to the spot where like you're already comfortable and like have like your friend group and stuff. So I want to talk about in-person interactions. And to me, and it's been like especially after COVID, but like throughout my entire time in the US, it feels like people are terrified of in-person contact, and most people prefer to like stay at home or like stay in their small groups. And many people blame COVID for it, which is odd to me because A, fun fact, I never experienced a lockdown. And actually wore the mask the first time in January 2021 when I returned to the US. And B, it's been 4 years, so we need to move on. Mm-hmm. So is it COVID's fault at all? Do you kind of have the similar experience that I do with in-person interactions? And what to do with it? Anna, would you like to start?
Yeah, I think I'm like the person you're talking about. Definitely. I can for sure see a difference in how I interact pre-COVID and post-COVID. Post-COVID, I did start doing, you know, performance, so I grew my confidence that way, but there are still some things that were hard for me. Like, I have a hard time ordering my food at, like, Chipotle, going through the line. Just those, like, mini interactions are something that, you know, give me anxiety, even though, you know, it's just a normal thing that normal people can do. I feel like it's something that I've felt more scared about.
Sunny, what's your experience?
I don't know, just because I started my tenure as a bartender into like management directly after lockdown. So it kind of forced me to be extremely like personable and communicative with people. So I don't know, I definitely feel a little bit differently, but I can see how other people acted differently, because I feel like not having interaction with people face to face for what was it, six to eight months or something, like really kind of wound people up, and people got cabin fever, and mm-hmm. as soon as they were outside, they started acting a fool a little bit, yeah. You know.
Allura, you seem very on track socially. Yes. Although I was wondering if you have any experience like that when you would try to connect with a person, and person would be like,
no. No. Like, ever since COVID kind of like died down, everybody couldn't wait to get outside, you know? So seeing like my group of friends, they wanted to run up and hug me, and I'm just like, wait. I know like we don't have to wear masks anymore, but please, like 6 feet. But I don't think COVID really was an issue for people to like really interact with other people, because it's like honestly, people really didn't really like care too much, I don't think. Like, it was just because they told us we had to be on lockdown, you know? But like, at the end of the day, we still were at our friend's house. We still were chilling, you feel me? So it was just like, I don't think, that had to do an issue with anything, like COVID or anything.
I'm Ksenia Kalar, sitting in for Evan Dawson. And today in Connections, we're talking about how to make friends in Rochester. I'm joined in the studio by Allura Simmons, a party promoter, hostess, and a model. Sunny Sweeney, bar manager at the Playhouse Wilberger and a singer-guitarist in Kind of Kind. And Anna Eggleton, a local producer and a performer. So we were talking about COVID and how it did or did not influence the relationship in Rochester. And my next question was, is it actually a Rochester problem? Because I travel quite a bit around the States, and just a couple of weeks ago, I went to Columbus for a game, made like 40 friends. We're still chatting with them almost every day. But in Rochester, I personally was really, really struggling after my friends graduated and left. And now I'm in a grad school, but this year before grad school, it was very tough. Like, I would go to places, I would try to talk to people, but people would be just like literally answering with like yes or no. And that's it, and move on. And I personally did not have this experience in any other place. I traveled in California just a couple of weeks ago. Also, was like very easy to meet people. Met a person in every single place I used to go to, and we just like ended up spending like the whole day together. So, is it a Rochester phenomenon?
I think it's a New York thing. Yeah. Us New Yorkers are very like stuck up. I thought like I don't know what it is like. It's okay to be nice to other people and just have a nice, normal conversation. Like,
it's that hustle stress.
Yes, it's that hustle stress. It's that kind of, and it's the atmosphere that we're around, I feel like. Like, you go anywhere else, like down south, Southern hospitality is a thing. Like, they're very nice. They're very polite. They'll talk to you. They'll help you. But it's just like, when you get to New York, it's just like, what are your intentions? Like, right. That's what I feel like
the
everybody, yes,
motives.
Like, it's what you really got going on. So I think that's why people have that guard and that shield up. Because you just never know what's, you know, people's intentions these days.
Anna, do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I was born and raised in Olympia, Washington, so total hippie town. And then I lived on Oahu for high school. So the culture shock of coming to the East Coast, this cold weather, people have a mission.
Yes.
Especially I think with all the colleges out here too, I feel like you make your friends in college and that's it. Those are your people. And I didn't go to school. So it was kind of hard for me to jump in to those spots. And just thinking about it, I feel like my social anxiety, you know, differs in different settings. You know, I can work a job and talk to people. I can host stuff. I can perform. But when it's that like interpersonal one-on-one where I don't know what you want, I don't know if you want to talk to me, that sort of thing, I feel like I'm overstepping, and that's when I get into my head.
But you're still on the East Coast though.
Yeah, I fell in love with a theater or something.
Would you consider moving at any point?
Yeah, but I think only to also mean cities. I don't think I could do New York City personally, but I don't know. I'd love to go to Chicago, probably end up on the West Coast later, but I'm happy here right now.
Sunny, what are your thoughts? Is it a Rochester phenomenon, New York phenomenon?
No, I think it is just, I think it's also, you know, we're at a transitionary point in our lives where, you know, we have to kind of keep and hold our energy sacred, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Because if we're just giving everything to everyone we meet, you know, sure. Like, sometimes it goes great and you make a new friend, but sometimes, you know, this person that you cared for will turn around and, you know, bite the hand that feeds. Mm-hmm. You know, so I feel like there is a general like mistrust, but I also think that it's so okay to talk to somebody new, you know, say hello to your neighbor, you know, like when's the last time you like opened your door, saw your neighbor sitting on their porch and been like, what's up? How you doing today?
Literally.
You know, like learn their name. Yeah, like learn their name, see what they like, you know. And
Ironically enough, I just did that.
I did too. That is crazy. I swear I just did. And I've lived on my street for about 8 years. And I've had the same neighbors, you know, that long. And finally, the person across the street came out and rode their bike. And I was just like, let me just say hi. I was like, hey, how are you? And he was so nice. He was really nice. I was just like, wow, 8 years it took me to say hi to you. That's crazy.
We got new neighbors moved in, like, in the house next to mine, like, very, very recently. I just said hi, and then we spent the whole weekend together.
Oh, wow.
And I
was,
like, very cool. Like, you know, but, yeah, in general, it's been tough. But, like, back to your point, Sunny, about, like, you can get hurt if you, like, give a lot to a person. You can also get run over by a car if you leave your house, right? So, like, you do not sit in the house for that reason. That's what I always think, but I understand where people are coming from. We're going to take a short break now, and we're going to come back and talk more with our guests, Allura Simmons, a party promoter, hostess, and a model, Sunny Sweeney, bar manager at the Playhouse Solberger, and singer, guitarist in Kind of Kind, and Anna Eggleton, a local producer and performer. We'll be right back.
I'm Evan Dawson, Monday on Our Next Connections. My colleague Gino Finelli hosts the program and has a conversation about homelessness. We've seen news in the last couple of weeks about homeless encampments and where people are able to live outdoors this summer. There have been questions in the past about where municipalities allow people to live. We'll get the very latest on Monday.
This is Connections. I'm Ksenia Kalar, sitting in for Evan Dawson, and we're talking about making friends in Rochester as young adults. So the next question I was thinking we should discuss is if there is a generational difference in how people approach making and maintaining friendships. It's for a reason that I have here only people around my age, because I want us to focus, like, on how to better make friends so that, like, you know, people can listen to this program and actually think about the places to go and things to do. But to get to that point, I thought it's important that we talk about, like, you know, something that our parents, our colleagues, our, like, more grown-up adults told us about how they were built in their current relationships. And if there is something that we are doing wrong. Allura, do you want to jump in?
Yes. I think times have changed, like, dramatically. Like, my mom used to tell me how she could just literally walk up and down the street, go play outside with her friends, you know, like, I haven't seen a kid on the street playing basketball, curveball, or anything, like, in ages, like, and I'm only 24. So it's like, what happened? Like, honestly, I feel like what it really was is it's a lot of crime in our city. So a lot of people are scared to go outside. Like, you might walk up to the store and might not come back home. So I definitely understand why people have that block of trying to interact with people or don't want to go outside, because it is scary out here. But yeah, I don't know what happened. Like, I don't see anybody outside playing, interacting, going up to, you know, your neighbor's house. Like, I used to do that when I was a kid. I used to play basketball, so I was always going up the street playing basketball with the guys and making new friends, talking to my neighbors, but times have changed. Like, the generation is just, everybody wants to be outside, drinking, partying, lit. But it's just like, can we go back to, like, those childhood days where we can just sit, watch cartoons, movies, make s'mores, you know, like, those times are fun.
Yeah, that was the first thing that I noticed when I moved to the U.S. I grew up in Europe, and I remember the first time I was in Rochester downtown. Like, not a single person there. Like, a couple of cars, and that's all. And I was like, oh, my God, where do people go? It took me, like, a couple of months to realize people don't walk here. They drive. Mm-hmm. But still, like, as you said, you'd never see people outside. People just use their vehicle to go from one place to another place, mm-hmm. stay there, and then go back home, which is crazy to me because it, like, also complicates things, like, yeah. in terms of meeting people so much. Sunny, what do you think? Is there a generational difference in what it's like?
Definitely. I feel like not only because, or I'm sorry, I think mainly it's because of the internet, you know, like the internet just being like, oh, I can connect with people through a screen and that's all I need. That gives me my validation as a person for this, you know, the next 20 seconds. I don't know. I think it takes some time to break out of that shell of, you know, wanting to actually put yourself out there. But there's also nothing wrong with having internet friends. There's nothing wrong with, you know, finding connections where, you know, where it makes sense to you.
Anna, what do you think?
I would definitely agree. This addition of technology has shifted the way we think about time and access to the people around us. I love what Sunny brought up about how our energy is sacred. And so I feel like I differ from a lot of people in my generation because I'm not about to text you back soon. It's gonna take a while because I'm at home and I'm doing my own thing. This is my own time. And, you know, 20 years ago, it would be a call, you call back when you can. And that was the end of the story. I didn't have to be there. And so I think I have a hard time connecting because I don't really know how to text or how to like do the internet connection. So I feel like that's almost a part that I don't get of this connection.
I'm Ksenia Kalar sitting in for Evan Dawson. We were talking about making friends in Rochester's young adults. And if you have any questions to any of our speakers or if you want to recommend us how to make more friends, you can call us at 844-295-8255. Or if you're local, it's 585-263-9994. You can also email us at connections@wxxi.org. We kind of touched on this topic, but let's talk about the rise of digital communication and social media and how that impacted the way young people form and maintain friendships. Sunny mentioned having internet friends and everything, which is great. I have a lot of internet friends myself, met actually a couple of them in person too, which was pretty cool. But I personally still find in-person interaction very important. So let's talk about how social media actually reduce the amount of in-person interaction we get. Sunny, do you want to jump in?
It definitely reduces the amount of in-person interaction, but there is still things like FaceTime where you're, even though you're not actually next to each other physically, you can still, you know, read people's body language and, you know, look people in the eye in some way or another, you know. So it at least feels genuine and still feels in person, even when it's not. But I think that, you know, a lot of kids these days are kind of lost because it's just like, you know, that's all they have. That's all they've known for so many years of their life.
Anna, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think for the teenagers, it's even harder than us right now because we have the ability to get in our car and still go somewhere. But the teens who, you know, are at home and then go to school, they're feeling so lost, hard to connect, hard to find those communities where they see themselves and other people. I think that's why I love working at Girls Rock Rochester and Pride Rock, because it's a lot of these teenagers who don't get to see people like me thriving, but they can come be in a part of a community and keep those friendships through the school year. Even if they're going back to their, you know, conservative school, they still know that they're cool, they're valid, and there are people who see that too.
Alora, what's your opinion?
I kind of want to piggyback on what Sunny said about how kids are like kind of lost right now. I think people, they look at the internet and think like that is the reality. Like that is what people are really like facing, going through and living. But it's like everybody on it, not everybody, but 99.9% of the time, it's a facade, you know, because everybody wants to appeal to something, appeal to someone. So it's just like, I don't know, kids these days just look at the internet and think, oh, I want to be that person. I want to be this person. I look up to that person. But it's just like, you don't really know them. And you don't know what they're going through. So it's just like, I don't know, the internet is just, it's taking over. And it's taking over in a good way and a bad way. Because it's like, once again, like, being on the internet, you can meet new people, connect with new people. I've been friends with somebody that lives in Atlanta for about 4 or 5 years, and I have yet to see him. And I've gone to Atlanta and been 10 minutes away from him and still have not seen him. So it's just like, it's cool to talk to him over the phone, but it's just like, yeah, we've known each other. I know him. He knows me. But it's like, I don't really genuinely know him because I never seen his face. I never looked him into his eyes, person, you know, like face to face. So I feel like the internet is give people a comfortability. But it's time to, you know, step outside that box and actually go and out and meet your new friends and meet your Instagram friends.
But it's like going out, we already talked about it for so long, but like going out, like, don't you ever feel that all people already are in their cliques when you go out? And the cliques are not usually very open into like having new people. Have you had any experiences like that?
Honestly, for me, yes. But then again, a lot of the places that I go to are very diverse. So it's like I can meet somebody like you, somebody like you, somebody like you, somebody like me, and still be, you know, have a good time with them. That's why I like going out and, you know, going to different places, because it's just fun to meet new, different, and unique people that I don't get to see or be around on a daily.
Do we think that in-person interaction is still important for mental health, especially for young adults, or not so much?
Absolutely.
Tell me more, Sunny.
I just think that, you know, I've always been the kind of person, you know, same with Anna, like, you text me, it may be hours before I even think about texting you back. and then you get the response anxiety where it's like, I didn't respond fast enough, now I'm a jerk, you know, for not responding quick enough. But anytime someone calls, I get to hear their voice. And especially when I'm talking to somebody in person, I can, you know, not only feel like I can connect with them, I feel like I could be more vulnerable with them and, you know, talk about the things that I need to talk about. And if they need to talk about things that are, you know, on their mind or in their heart, you know, I can better be present with them.
Right. Anna, anything else to add?
It is just so hard because of those, like, anxieties that we have as adults are just so much more amplified when you're a kid. Like, if I feel like a freak at a bar talking to a stranger, I can't imagine how freaky 14-year-old me would feel, just like already so insecure, lacking that confidence and life experience to put yourself out there. I can definitely see it as hard, especially with those parasocial relationships we started to kind of talk about with the people we see on the internet. You build up this version of someone and fall in love with this idol, but you've never met them. You've never gotten that eye contact, that soul read where you have that real connection.
We got an email from Landon, which is another topic I wanted us to bring up. He says, I'm not 21 yet, but my friends who are 21 don't really go to bars. That's not something people my age are really into. It might be because you have to spend like $40 or $50 just to go out, and many of us can't afford that.
Yeah, being outside is very expensive. Yeah. Just to get into a bar, you have to pay $5 to $10, and then my drinks are done spent $100 on two drinks. but there are places that you can go to. I mentioned before, Nirvana, the Strong Museum of Play. I think they had like an adult night.
Those are crazy.
Yes, I'm so mad I missed it. I didn't even know about it until last minute. But there's a lot of go on a walk, go on a trail. Get to really sit down and know your friends. Get a blanket, get some snacks. Some pillows, you know, just chill. It's okay to talk, chill with your friends. But yeah, being outside and going out is very expensive. So I don't blame you. Save your $50, right. Save that allowance, and just, you know, chill with your friends, get some card games, some games.
I think we're forgetting a big part of like Rochester culture, but we have so many festivals. We have Lilac Festival, Jazz Festival, Cornhill Fest. You know, we have, what's the other one? Party in the Park. It's going on right now. Just had Everclear playing yesterday. Mm-hmm. Who, honestly, the old heads will know Everclear. but, you know, there's also things like free workshops. And if you're, like, reading your city newspaper, a lot of these workshops will show up. And, you know, they have, I think, on Gregory Street in the South Wedge, they have a country dance of Rochester. That, like, every Thursday, they, like, meet together and do contra dancing.
Yeah, the Lucky Flea Market.
Lucky Flea. You talk about spending an arm and leg, though, those resellers.
But hey, you can still go there, connect, meet people, network. You don't, you know, if you don't want to spend a bag on, you know,
that's
clothes.
Yeah, I mean, even if you go to festivals or party in the park, you still have to pay the fee to, like, get in, like the party in the park, for example, or festivals, you'll still want to get some food or something. I personally never understood that problem of people get a job.
Yeah.
Like spending $50 once a week to hang out with friends, it's not a big deal. Like if you choose not to do it, totally okay. Like there are free activities we just talked about, but like I never understood that type of complaint. Mm-hmm. Anna, what do you think?
Yeah, it's hard because I've definitely been financially insecure because I had my job, but my rent took most of that money, by myself. and so I can see that, especially because I started doing comedy before I turned 21. So this question of like, I'm not even 21, but my 21-year-old friends don't go to bars. I totally get it. Why would I go drink with strangers when I could be at my house with my friends, doing things, for free? And so I think when we talk about like going out and meeting people, it's hard because you're like, I don't want to bring strangers to my house. Like there's so many things, but, that is where I end up hanging out with my friends on their porch.
Right. So we have a call from Gio, and he has an idea he wants to share. So I'm going to let him speak. Hi, Gio. You're live. Okay. I think something's going on with our audio. Okay, yeah, so going out, like, I agree with you. Going to, bringing people to your house is creepy a little bit.
Yes.
And it is creepy here. Again, in Europe, it's totally okay. Here, when I came, and, even bringing your friends from college sometimes can be weird. Not to me. Anyone can come to my house at any time. But one of the other questions that I was going to ask you is about, like, dating apps. And I don't want to touch dating here, but, like, you can also look for friends on dating apps. Like, right now they have that option. How have they changed the dynamics of meeting people?
Going back to ulterior motives, like, even if you're on the on the friends thing, I feel like especially men can be very, like, oh yeah, I just want to be friends.
Yeah, and then
a week passes and they're like, "Hey, so are we going to hook up?" And, it's just so, like, I don't know. What used to be like a chore not a chore, but like what used to be such like a dance of like trying to meet a suitor is now like just something I can not me personally, but like something someone can do from a click of a button and just be like, hey, and be weird to people on the internet. So
all right, I think Gio is back, so let's hear what he has to say. Hi, Gio, you're live.
Hi, this is Gio, and I just wanted to say I think that we should go back to basics and just hug each other. As a friendly reminder, we just went through 3.5 years of pandemic lockdowns. So we weren't even allowed to shake hands. We weren't allowed to hug. We weren't allowed to sing. We weren't allowed to dance. And those are very important social behaviors that bring us together. And I think that we're just out of practice. And so, like, one thing that I try to do with my friends is just ask them, have you hugged a person today? If you haven't, try to, because I think we're out of practice. We had to stay 6 feet apart from each other. And now it's having an effect on me. I'm actually leaving Rochester, going to Syracuse because of this same fact. So just my thoughts.
Cool.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Gio. Right, so Gio was making a point. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
There is a serotonin release when you hug someone.
Yes.
It's something that I had to get used to when I moved to the US, because at home we're like not touching each other very often. And here, like, it's normality. And, like, to me, it became normality now as well. Like, I can hug anyone at any point. But, yeah, have you, like, noticed after COVID and before COVID, have you noticed any difference in, like, physical interaction?
At first, yes, because it was very fresh and everybody was still scared. But now that it's been, what, 3 years now, I'm a hugger because it's like, I never know when I'm going to see you again.
Right.
So no matter who you are, I always say I love you because I love you.
Right.
And I give out hugs because, like I said, you just never know when I'm going to see you again. But yeah.
Yeah, platonic physical connection, I feel like, stopped for me after high school. Like, I was this theater kid in high school, and so we were so touchy. I would hug my friends. We would play around. And then it was kind of hard to lose that through COVID. And I definitely, you know, have gotten some of that back, especially just doing improv is so physical. And so you get those endorphins, the serotonin, connecting with people. But I feel like it has shifted since I was a kid.
We got an email from Martha, who seems to know our problem. And she says that the most obvious issue for your guests and other young people, in quotes, is the phone. If you track your phone usage, you might find you're spending 3, 4, 5 hours a day staring at your screen. I wish, Martha, this is my job, actually. So I spend around 16 hours on my phone every single day.
I was going to say 3, 4, 5 hours. That's cute.
Yeah, that's real cute.
let me look it up right now.
My screen time is crazy.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm a party promoter.
All I do all day is
post flyers, advertise. So it's like I make money off my phone.
Phones?
I'm sorry, I have to.
Phones have become the job, like, really. So Martha says that if you cut that out, you might be more motivated to get out to do other things. We might not have money to do
be broke, Martha.
When I moved here, I immediately found places I could volunteer with. That's back to your point, Anna. I made a good number of friends I still hang with regularly. Music, there are so many small venues where you can listen to bands for free in small, intimate places. Some friends have developed from seeing them at music. Art openings, free openings where you can bump into other folks who like art. First Fridays, artists open their studios all over town. I've lived in 4 cities and Rochester was the easiest to meet people. She says that we need to be brave and get out of there. What do you think about Martha's email?
First Fridays, definitely cool.
Yeah.
I love First Fridays. But I don't know. Yeah, if there is a paywall, it's a lot harder. And especially with, you know, seeing live shows, there is mostly a paywall or just some sort of, like, you know, like, suggested donation. But, you know, if you find a nice DIY venue that, you know, will have, like, PWYC, which means pay what you can, on their flyer, that's usually a good sign where it's just, like, you know, if you can support, sure, please. And if you can't, it's okay.
Anna, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that the phones are being seen as this issue for connection. I mean, we have talked about how social media has affected us, but I'm, like, a firm believer. Like, I lose my phone when I'm at home. It's away, and I use it to work, and then sometimes I'll scroll on that. But it isn't all of us. And I think, yeah, with art, there is so much free stuff. There are a lot of age restrictions on shows, which is unfortunate for listeners who are under 21, under 18, who are struggling to find that community. But that's something I'm advocating a lot for, too. I love that my theater is all ages. All our shows are all ages. Our drinks are all less than $7, I'm pretty sure, for that, like, accessible art that people can get into.
Allura, do you have anything to say?
I think phones definitely are, like, I wouldn't say our biggest problem, but kind of is in a sense. Because, like I said before, like, this facade of that we have to live up to this expectation and the standard on social media is really insane. Because it's like, that's not who you are. That's not who you really want to be. So it's like, why look at something and think, oh, because she's wearing that or because she's saying that. And that's another thing with these kids, like, they see Megan Thee Stallion and all these other, and they're, you know, shaking their little butts at 12 years old. And I'm just like, me at 12, I was not doing that. Yeah. So it's like looking, you know, from that point of view, it's just like, it's crazy how like times have changed and like the things that kids like look up to.
It definitely changed.
Yeah.
I think going back to phones, or well, we're still on topic. I don't know. Like, I be working so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm working, you know, and if it's not at Playhouse, it's like I have band practices. I'm doing shows on the weekend, you know. So it all added up. It's like, you know, I could be going 40, 50 hours a week, maybe more, maybe less. But I know after I get out of a long shift, I don't want to go out and I don't want to meet new people. I want to sit on my couch and rot my brain for at least mm-hmm. 2 hours and just decompress.
Yeah.
And look at some, you know, TikTok story with Subway Surfers playing at the bottom, you know. I don't really need necessarily to be you know, constantly engaged. Like sometimes I just need to turn my brain off and I need to be bored. Let myself be bored.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually glad you mentioned the job, Sunny, because while preparing for the program, I read some stats about how remote work like influenced the amount of like new people and like new friends people are making. But I've also been thinking as a recent grad, how hard it is to find a job. And when you come into the workplace, you have people much older than you because you're lucky that you got a job when you're like 25 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think this is insane too. Like in my mind, when I was in college, I always thought that like when I'm going to come in, there are going to be other recent grads who are going to be working with me, or like not grads, maybe people of my age. And then it's actually pretty hard to find young people like working like office jobs, you know, like most of my friends are doing like bartending or they work in a coffee shop because they did not manage to find the job that their degrees for. And I think that's crazy too.
Yeah, I think it's crazy how like, remember how we always just go to like college fairs and job fairs? Like I haven't heard of one of those. And I'm, you know, they might still be going on, but it's just like, I haven't heard of or seen anything where like people are actually trying to help younger people find jobs and, you know, give back to the community.
Yeah. So what can local businesses do to actually support in-person interactions?
Well, I mean, I feel like if you're having an interview, always in person. Phone interviews, it's not going to cut it. You know, I feel like you can get a solid read on somebody, you know, if you have an in-person interview. And also have them bring in their physical resume, not just emailing it to you and ending up in a pile somewhere.
How about outside of work too? Like what can our local businesses do to like encourage people to come? I really like the non-alcoholic cocktails. I think that is great. But what else is like something that could encourage people to come and actually interact in person rather than being on their phones? Because for example, back to Martha's email, like if you go to an art opening, I personally find it extremely boring going to those alone and like trying to find people there. Like I would love to go with my friends or alone if I feel like it, but I cannot imagine like a person staring at the painting and be like, and I'll be like, hello, how are you? It's just like, to me, it's odd. I don't know. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, the Focus Theater that I do a lot of my work at, we do community events. Every first Saturday is an open improv jam. It costs nothing. You can show up and you can even perform with some of the local performers and coaches. So it gets you a shot to do the thing that we're selling the class for free and meet new people.
Yeah, Alora.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like having free events is just like... who was it, Gio?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you said, like he doesn't want to spend $40-$50 going, you know, somewhere. So it's just like some people aren't financially stable to actually, you know, go out, because it is, even if you're going out just to meet people, you have to pay for something,
right?
Parking, you know, it's something that you got to pay for. So it's like I think having those free nonprofit events will be very helpful to, you know, bring our community together.
Yeah, definitely. Sunny, what about you? What do you think?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, what can local businesses do to encourage in-person interaction?
I guess just get out on the street more. You know, because, like, really what brings people in is that marketing. You know, when people see something like, oh, like, for example, Swillburger has a new burger special, you know, nobody's going to hear about it word of mouth. They have to post it on the Instagram.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's just like there is this, like, symbiotic relationship with, you know, using social media to, you know, create more in-person interaction.
Right. We are wrapping up our conversation today. I think having free events is a great idea and a great promotion idea because I'm way much likely to go back and pay after I get something for free. So, guys, thank you so much for coming. Thank you, Laura. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Sunny, thank Anna, you. Thank you so much. I'm Xenia Kalar, sitting in for Evan Dawson. Thank you for listening to Member Supported Public Radio.